Okay? Okay. Good evening, everyone. This is the regular meeting of the City Council, July 5th. It's a little bit late, 4:35. We were waiting for the TV cameras. Roll call, please.
Mayor Reese.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez G.
Here.
Councilmember Ravenel.
Here.
Councilmember Higginbotham.
Here.
Councilmember Natoli.
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, if you'll please stand for the invocation by Dr. Paul Jones and remain standing for the pledge.
Will you please bow your heart in prayer with me? Our Heavenly Father, this past weekend, we as a nation and as individuals have celebrated on July the 4th, the 229th birthday of the United States of America. We have held in our hand and read once again that sacred document, the Declaration of Independence. The beginning word set the tone enshrined in our Founding Fathers' hearts. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And then 56 brave, loyal American statesmen risk their lives and their fortunes as they pledge their sacred honor, signing one of the greatest documents in human history. Each one gave their best and their all for freedom, for they believed that everyone is considered equal, because in divine justice, everyone matters equally. Freedom is God's gift to every man and woman in this world. People flourish and excel where freedom rules, and those who deny freedom to others cannot long retain freedom. History has clearly taught us that freedom is not free. Hundreds of thousands of our finest young American men and women have suffered on the fields of battle and paid the ultimate sacrifice so we could live according to the highest ideals of freedom. It was President Abraham Lincoln who wrote a mother who had lost 5 sons in the Civil War, and a sentence from that letter said, "Solemn pride must be yours to have laid so costly a sacrifice on the altar of freedom." Most of us here today have paid little for the great freedom we enjoy. A great cost has been borne by a disproportionate percentage of our citizens. So today, we recognize more fully and express to you the great debt of heartfelt gratitude we owe these courageous men and women who have given their all to guarantee every privilege and every freedom that each American enjoys. And Holy Scripture teaches us, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And with joyous freedom in our hearts today, we boldly declare on our 229th birthday our nation's motto, "In God We Trust." And it is in this spirit that we pray this invocation. We thank you for the freedom to elect our civic leaders who govern our land and our beautiful city. May your infinite wisdom be graciously desired by all who lead us, and may your infinite wisdom be graciously bestowed upon all who lead us. Grant solutions nationally and locally that will honor you and benefit each citizen. Bring harmony where there is confusion, and grant answers to every problem as only you can do. We invoke your eternal presence and peace to fill our nation and our city. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King. Amen. You please put your hand over your heart and join me as we say the Pledge of Allegiance to our great flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much, Dr. Jones. The next item on our agenda is public comment, and I do have a card from Art Anthony. Oops, forgot presentation. That's okay. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
We'll do public comment first.
Pardon?
I have a presentation which I skipped over.
Well, I'll step back.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. We have a proclamation, and I will have the council members read it. First one's Rudy.
Whereas the Parks and Recreation profession in California creates community through people, parks, and programs.
Seniors benefit from the wide range of services, facilities, and program provided by the City of Pismo Beach.
Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Pismo Beach City Council urges all residents to enjoy and recognize the social, physical, mental, economic, environmental, and community benefits derived from the city's parks and recreation programs, which provide something of value to everyone, and recognize July as Recreation and Parks Month, dated this fifth day of July 2005, signed Mayor Mary Ann Reese. Would Jim Thomas meet me at the podium?
Thank you very much on behalf of the rest of the commissioners. Thank you.
Okay, now it's time for public comment. Art Anthony. Thank you for your patience.
I can't be accused of having patience. My wife wouldn't believe that. Madam Mayor and Honorable Council, I am Art Anthony. I live on Coral Court. I gave you earlier today a copy of a clipping from the Los Angeles Times relating to the Supreme Court's decision last week regarding property rights and the potential taking of property by local governments. I wanted to try to amplify a little bit on that this afternoon, if I could, by just taking a couple of pieces out of it and reading them aloud for those who haven't had a chance to see it. First, the ruling was in a decision, a 5-4 Supreme Court decision, United States Supreme Court, in the city of New London, Connecticut. The ruling upheld the Connecticut city's right to seize 15 properties from private owners and to transfer the real estate to private developers for later hotel, office, and conference center projects. None of the owners wanted to sell at any price. None of the houses was considered to be blighted or in bad repair. None of the real estate will be used or owned by the city itself. Now, Sandra Day O'Connor wrote the dissent, and one of the things she said, nothing now will prevent local governments from replacing any Motel 6 with a Ritz-Carlton, any home with a shopping mall, or any farm with a factory. In the New London case, the five justices in the majority held that when a local government determines that eminent domain seizures will contribute to a public benefit, even if that benefit is the prospect of increased tax revenues, then the Supreme Court should give the local government deference and not interfere. The majority of justices on the current court appear to be saying that public purses may be discernible in a wide variety of private projects. If, for example, a city's political leaders decide that the houses on a street would produce more tax revenue as a regional shopping center, they are now in a stronger position to seize the houses under the court's doctrine expressed in this decision. This is scary to me, as I'm sure it is to many of you and to many property owners. There are going to be just a lot of questions about this, and I wouldn't be surprised if the city attorney's wire there has already been very warm with people talking about this in the state of California. For example, how does our redevelopment agency law in the state of California apply when the federal court makes this kind of a judgment? If a property is outside of a redevelopment area, does it have to be declared blighted to be taken? The justices say no. If it's in a redevelopment area, it probably does have to be declared blighted under the California law, but will that always work? I just wonder if it might be a good idea for all of you and for certainly the city attorney and others here who care about such things on a daily basis, like Mr. Bloom and his redevelopment agency, to do some studying on this and find out what's really going on. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I think that's something that probably the full council would like, some kind of a report from the city attorney. If not this evening, maybe another evening we could put it on the agenda.
Mr. Mr. Rice has already asked me to do that, and I will be doing that.
Very good. Thank you very much. And thank you, Art. Rebecca McMurray.
Good evening, Mayor and members of council. I'm Rebecca McMurray, Executive Director of the Pismo Chamber. And I just wanted to come down tonight and thank all of you for your support of the Chamber and of the 4th of July fireworks event that we held yesterday down at the pier. And I'd like to thank you both for your financial support and for the support that the city offers to the Chamber in the form of Public Works, Police, and Fire. We had a great event yesterday. Numbers were down, but we all think that we can attribute much of that to the holiday being on a Monday and a lot of people having to return home to be at work today. But it was a great crowd. We had a great fireworks show. Many of you were
a fat, you know, measured by a caliper, and to increase muscle mass. And they spent the next 3 months working out, changing their diet. And I wanted to report that Katie Casseri won the challenge. So let's hear it for the women. I thought that was very neat.
Yay!
but more importantly, you see the firefighters out there running up and down the Wilmar stairs with their packs on and exercising. And they said one of the benefits besides the physical aspect was it was a real morale booster. And it was really a good team-building exercise. So I think we can all be really proud of everybody that participated on that on their own because they want to become healthier and set a good example for the community. So I was excited to hear about that.
Thank you.
I wanted to report that we have a lot of Pismo Beach young women that participate in the Arroyo Grande High School water polo team. They're having a barbecue, I hope this is appropriate, this Saturday at the corner of Briscoe and Grand. If you'd like to come down at 10 a.m., the funds go towards the team, and they would be grateful. I wanted to congratulate the Chamber and Public Works for all their hard work on the 4th of July. It was a great show. I think the best fireworks ever. and Police and Fire did a really good job. And then the last time that I sat up here, I was going to wear my same outfit to make my point. I had encouraged some of the people in the community that were charging for parking to maybe join forces and pick a nonprofit and have a portion of your parking go towards a nonprofit that's local, Meals on Wheels, Special Olympics. But nobody came up to talk to me after that meeting, which I was a little disappointed. And then we missed another opportunity to do that. And then to add a little bit personally insult to injury, it was on the news last night, KSBY reported that people were out, you know, making money, charging people to watch fireworks. And I thought, gosh, wouldn't it have been nice if they had said, and a proceed is going towards a local nonprofit. So, and the timing was interesting. Dave Edwards in the Telegram Tribune wrote an article today on nonprofits. And his closing comment said, the good news is that charitable giving has increased last year. The bad news is most of our local nonprofits are competing against larger, nationally based organizations. So this year, could you please give where you live? So we have another event coming up in October. We have the car show. And I would really like to see if we could do something. I think this would be an easy way to find a nonprofit that we could donate to. Which brings me to my next point. I think in April, if you'll help me, Councilmember Rabinal, we had the presentation on parking meters.
Yes.
And we tabled that discussion for 6 months. And I realized that the residents downtown or business owners downtown did what we didn't do. They made money off of parking. And I think we're missing something here. So I was hoping we could bring that back. Only because I remember, I believe it was Don Day who asked, how long would it take us to pay for a parking meter? And I think we could have probably paid almost for one or two by now. So I'm wondering if we could bring that back and re-examine that issue again so that we can make some money also on parking. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we want to do this before the 6 months is up? I mean, we can talk about that. I think we were going to wait till the end of the year. You want to do it sooner?
I would.
I've wanted to do it since 1994.
That's before I was born, so.
Does anyone else have any comments?
Well, I too, and I appreciate Shelley coming to that realization. And it's not that she didn't realize; it's just that it came sooner than I expected, and I'm grateful for that. Sure, there were people charging as much as $50 towards the end of yesterday for a parking place in downtown Pismo Beach, which, in my estimation, is criminal. Only because you take advantage of the people that feed you throughout the year. And it just need not be that way, and that's not certainly the reputation that I would like to have in Pismo Beach. I thought the fireworks were stellar last night. The only thing that bothered me was the news this morning when I read that it said that there were so many illegal fireworks that they stopped trying to control them. They just looked to oversee and make sure that nobody was getting their thumbs blown off or their homes burnt down or something like that. That's out of control. I don't have an answer. All that I know is it's dangerous. I know that the fireworks were going off on July 5th because I was laying in bed with my little boy last night listening to him after midnight. There is no need for that. I believe in the 4th of July.
We have a consensus to do that, so I think we'll just probably wait until the 6 months is up.
Okay. Wait.
Okay, thank you.
I have one more thing.
You have one more item?
Yeah. Sorry, I have one more thing. I talked to Chief Cortez today because I actually got some really nice phone calls this morning from people that live in the Pismo Heights, and they were absolutely thrilled with the way that traffic moved down our hill. We were on foot, and I felt really safe because, for those of you that aren't aware, they posted no parking all the way up Wadsworth, heading up the street and up Longview, and it made for a much safer evening, but it moved traffic much more effectively. People weren't parking trying to make U-turns. They had a nice young woman directing traffic at the corner of Bellow and Wadsworth, and I've never seen it flow so well, and I had a lot of calls from people that thought this was the best year ever. So thank you very much to Police Chief for making that happen.
Thank you. Does anyone else have any comments or requests?
I have a couple of comments. My first one is I wanted to express how organized I thought the fireworks was. Thank all of you that participated in that. I went over to what I call the peer substation of the police, and they were large in numbers, and the CDF was there as well. They're very, very organized. I don't even begin to understand how, if someone's playing with fireworks and one person lets off a firework, one little fire works off, how a policeman could run down and stop that and then another one pop on the other side of the pier. I don't think that could ever be organized down there in the sand. I mean, then plus they couldn't take a vehicle down there with the people were just packed, so you couldn't even see sand. I keep hearing that the numbers were down this year, but I drove around downtown on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday as well. And I saw that Shelley's restaurant had a line out, so I was really impressed with that. I thought there was lines out of Splash. So the numbers might have been down, but people were in our downtown core shopping and going to the restaurants. I thought it was very nice. And then I got calls as well from persons in the Heights that said that they were so thrilled that the city responded to their outcry for safety. They said they felt really safe this year, that any of the CDF or police vehicles could get up to the top if need be. So thank you for that. And also I had some calls on the tree heights again. So I'm not going to ask for answers on that, but I'm going to look into it myself on the calls that people keep calling about tree heights blocking their views. And I know we have no ordinance, but I still think we should pursue people's concerns. And that's all I have at this time, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Does anyone else have any comments or requests?
Okay. I have none whatsoever.
Okay. I have a couple of things, and actually I already talked to the city manager about a couple of them. There is a pole down on Pismo Street in downtown that just looks like it's about ready to topple over, and I think he's going to check on that with me, for me. And then on Shell Beach Road, where there's a sign in somebody's yard that said road narrows, I wonder if we could move that and take it out of their yard, just move it a little bit south on the city's property. It's right in the middle of their yard, and it says road narrows.
We can look into that if we get the address and the exact location.
Okay. I didn't look at the address, but I ride by it every single day, and I think about that. But it's right in the middle of their yard, and actually I talked to them yesterday at a picnic. So, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. And
then near the tennis courts, where there's some boards that kind of hold up the dirt along the outside there, they're all kind of falling down, and I don't know if it's because the dirt's moving or what, but if you could get Parks to look at that, I'd appreciate
it. We'll check it out.
Okay. And then the fireworks, I thought it was just amazing, and I, too, got a lot of calls. People were very pleased with their ability to get out of downtown, and they were very pleased with the fireworks, so thank you all that worked on it. I'm very appreciative. And that's all I have, so we can move on to the next item, which is consent agenda. Does any of the council have anything that they want to pull?
No, Madam Mayor.
Okay.
Madam Mayor and Council, I'd like to request to pull item 4E, if I could do that.
Okay.
And then 4E, which is sets the EDU, the new EDU table that's effective this fiscal year, and then also the water service special tax rate.
Okay, thank you. I'm glad to see that's being pulled. I think the community would like to hear about that. Okay, with that, I'll entertain a motion.
The track map boundary is currently posted as no parking, and the staff recommends it remain no parking. There is a lower portion of Ventana, about a 50-yard stretch, that does not have any no parking signs on it currently. They were taken down, and I'll get to that, and we would recommend that it remain that way. So how did this all come about? First of all, of course, this is an agendized item tonight because the council asked about a month ago that it be put on the agenda. There were some comments from in public comment period at that time, and the council asked us to agendize it, and so you see the staff report that you have in the packet. Originally, this issue came up. Council probably about 2 or 3 months ago asked the staff to look at the parking issues surrounding the opening of the new, apparently very popular Japanese restaurant or in Japanese steakhouse, Yanagi. The issue, I guess, at that time anyway, was there was a lot of spillover parking onto Shamrock Lane, and there were a lot of citizens that were upset, primarily over by Irish Way, that were upset by the amount of cars that were parking in Shamrock. So the staff looked at what we could do to try and solve the situation. First of all, I contacted the restaurant owner. We talked several times. We went up, both myself and Mr. Bloom, the community development director, went up and looked at whether there was any more parking that we could get out of his lot up there, his parking lot directly surrounding his restaurant. And we gave him, and we decided there was probably a few more spots that could be gotten out of that area up there. And I contacted the restaurant owner and told him that, and told him what he needed to do to get those additional spots. Secondly, we looked at Chumash Park, and I say that some of the issues were that the employees, where would the employees park for this restaurant? I guess it's pretty popular, a lot of employees, and so where would they park? And if we could get them to park somewhere else, maybe we wouldn't have the problem over on Shamrock. So we looked at Chumash Park, and for, I guess, several nights at least, maybe longer, the employees were parking at Chumash Park. And we got, the staff, and you all got complaints about the employees parking in Chumash Park. So it didn't look like that was a good solution. So then we looked at the dirt lot, which is where eventually the Ventana Fire Station may be built. And that dirt lot was chained off. It had been chained off for a while.
and not allowing anybody to go in there. So we looked at opening up that as a possibility where the employees could come down, park, and then they would hike up the hill and, you know, go to work. And then we also looked at parking on Ventana itself. So our street crews, at that point, our street crews went ahead and took the chains down to the dirt parking lot, the Ventana dirt parking lot. And I contacted the restaurant owner and explained to him that we would encourage him to ask his employees to go park down there at that dirt lot. And our street crews then also removed all the no parking signs on Ventana. I then received an email from Mr. and Mrs. Kettelar, and they pointed out to me that when they bought their home, there was CCNRs that they're pretty sure that Ventana would be posted as no parking. So I told the Kettelars that I'd check that out, which I did, and they were right. And I called them back and found out from checking with planning that for some reason back when that tract was accepted, and Mr. Bloom is going to get into this a little bit more, that for some reason the city accepted within the tract boundary that Ventana would be no parking. And I'll let Mr. Bloom comment more upon that. So we then sent the street crews back up, and they reposted Ventana as no parking within that tract boundary map, which we had just taken the signs down. By this time, I'm sure the street crews probably thought city manager was nuts. But so anyway, the way it stands right now is that there are no parking signs on Ventana above the fence line, which demarcates the tract boundary map. There is about a 50-yard stretch below that fence line that the no parking signs have been taken down from. And then as you get to the little circle roundabout.
We're included in the city approval for the subdivision. And this isn't a normal practice. Mixing civil issues and municipal issues is never a good idea. But, however, it was part of the approval. When we looked at the condition number 3, and I'll read it as follows, no vehicle access will be permitted from Ventana to lots 1, 5, 6, 8, 9, 11, 12, 18, 19, 31 through 39, and 100 Ventana will be designated as no parking. Staff, in reviewing the final map, found that the yellow, as highlighted in the track map, is what we consider the blue border. That's the confines of the final map of the subdivision. And then that portion of the Ventana from Lot A and Lot 1 on Ventana down to James Way was an off-site improvement and therefore isn't part of the conditions of approval of the map and is subject to the deed restrictions. And so we reported that back to the city manager and I believe council. And in addition, the police has done some evaluation and fire. After I make my final comments is, I believe there's the police chief will give a short presentation on what they found and a couple pictures of how they made the determination to allow parking between the final subdivision map and James Way. But in researching the subdivision, there is the deed restrictions were included as part of the subdivision approval, and we've replaced the no parking in that area of what we call the blue border of the subdivision. So I wanted to point that out. And I'm not sure is the...
Okay, so police chief.
Council? Not to reiterate what was spoken already, I'll kind of go on from there. I met with Dennis Delzite, who's the city's traffic engineer, and a CDF battalion chief. We did a site visit out to the scene. We measured the roadway. We looked at the existing conditions on the lower end of Ventana, and it was determined that the lane widths of both portions of Ventana, you know, it's split down the middle with a center divider, were sufficient. They met code, the fire code, and they were within the limits prescribed by the city traffic engineer. So we knew that the roadway was wide enough to allow for parking down there. We also took a look at a study that was done, a recent study that had been done by an independent engineering firm, and there was recommended speeds set for that area as well, and that was taken into consideration. It was brought to our attention that there was a concern that maybe the road, even though it measures wide enough, it may not be wide enough for one large vehicle to pass another large vehicle that was parked on the side of the road. So, as you can see in the picture here, we took our largest vehicle in our fleet, which happens to be the vehicle on the right side and in the front. That is our emergency response vehicle. And the vehicle behind it is a full-size SUV, and they're parked on the side of the road, and they're being passed by a fire truck. And I wasn't there at the time this was done, but I'm told that they did it in several locations, and there's no problem with distance to pass at any occasion. Based upon the fact that the lower portion of Ventana Street met the fire code width standards, that it's divided by a center median, that it's bordered by raised sidewalks, has sufficient light standards out there for nighttime. There's no residential driveways impacting this stretch of road. There's no intersections impacting this stretch of road. And the fact that Shumash Park just happens to be one of the most brilliantly designed parks in terms of its setback from Ventana. You know, we have the parking lot, and then behind that we actually have the play area. And the play area is a good 100, 150 yards off of Ventana. So we felt that from a practical standpoint, safety-wise, this was a doable situation. We couldn't see anything from an objective standpoint that would cause us to believe that parking should not be allowed there. So per the city municipal ordinances, I asked that this portion of no parking be removed and to allow for parking there. To reiterate what the city manager says, myself and Commander Smith go by there on a nightly basis. We haven't seen anybody park there. But that's not to say that some night, maybe around Christmas time, there's going to be a large party at that restaurant. Or maybe this summer there's going to be a family reunion at Shumash Park, and there's going to be a need for overflow parking. We took a look at it, and it's a publicly maintained road. We can't see any traffic safety reason why parking should not be allowed there. And that was one of the reasons we made that determination. Does anybody have any questions for me?
Okay, thank you. Does any of the council have any comments or questions at this point?
I'm here today to ask the council to reverse the decision to allow parking on the lower portion of Ventana Drive. I'd like to begin with a quote from the Pismo Beach General Plan on the first page of Principle P1. It states, "Parking and traffic intrusions in the residential areas should be minimized," end quote. I just heard some of the comments from the city staff report concerning overflow parking from a local restaurant, and myself and many of the neighbors feel that this is a residential area, and those are commercial demands that we see being involved there. So we feel this is, even though it is a city-maintained road, it extends directly into our community, and we feel it is a portion of our residential area and does not have any commercial needs specifically on that road. So I've read the city report, and I still have several questions and concerns about that, and hopefully the council members have had a chance to look at the city-prepared report that was available online to the city as of this past Thursday. I'm still confused on several issues. Who is parking on Ventana right now? I think it's been answered for us. Chief of Police stated he hasn't seen anyone, and I have personally not seen anyone. I think there's been a smattering of just a few vehicles parking on there. So that begs the question, why does the city need parking on Ventana? And we go back to the same issue, commercial demands and perhaps a park overflow. I can tell you from personal experience being a resident in the area for 8 years and being a resident since the park has opened, the park has adequate parking for its current needs. May 21st is an example. My family and I reserved the park for a party for my son. We had roughly 40 members of the community at that party. Unbeknownst to us, another group of 40 rough roughly 40 members had scheduled a party that same day. We had reserved the park, but we shared the space with them. No one was required to park on Ventana. They all made it, and everyone got into the lot, and we did okay. So no one needed it for that need, and that was a large demand on the park. Another concern is the hill itself. The city has told me that Lower Ventana is a 13% grade, and when I spoke to you before, I mentioned safety issues, and that is some of our main concerns here. Just in looking through a DMV manual, it regards speed, width, grade, curve, and presence of pedestrians, particularly small children, when considering the amount of stopping needed to avoid accidents. And let's not forget that there's a curb center median along much of the contested area that limits maneuverability. And if you look at your handout that I gave you, the first handout is just the petition list that we prepared, myself and neighbors. The second handout in the lower right-hand corner has number 2 on that. And if you look at the second handout there, and it mentions that this is from the Pismo Beach City Codes, and it's regarding hillsides, and I'd just like a city member to explain this to me. We've highlighted the affected area. It mentions hillsides with a 10% or greater slope, and it mentions a certain width that they need to have for two-way parking, and no parking is mentioned with that. And this is a street that has a center median, and I couldn't find anything to explain to me. Perhaps Dennis Delzite may be able to explain that to us. Do you have any... Do you have the handout that mentions that?
I didn't get the handout.
Maybe we could have him answer that. Why don't you finish your presentation? I'm going to allow you a little bit of extra time because you did distribute these first.
Okay. So that's one issue there. The city report that was available online refers to setting a speed limit of 30 miles per hour. Just in the past week, speed limits signs on the hill were changed from 30 to 35 miles per hour. That's another question I have is, what was the rationale for this change? I'm not sure if I can get an answer now or later.
We'll let him do that after.
The speed study reported that nearly 75% of the vehicles travel between 35 and 44 miles per hour. If you look at page 3 on the handout that I gave you, it mentions stopping distances, and it shows you that at 35 miles per hour, it takes about 210 feet to react and bring a car to a complete stop. And that doesn't take into account a steep grade of 13%, which would most likely, according to engineers I've talked with, add to that distance.
So you feel that there is that slope in that area where we're allowing parking now?
That's what I was told by the city, that it is 13%, the lower portion of Ventana.
Okay.
The portion in question that has the no parking signs removed. Yes. So handout number 4, the next page, is from the Pismo Beach zoning codes, and it addresses site distances at driveways. And so this is an uncontrolled intersection. Basically, there's two driveways at the bottom of the hill where the no parking zone leads up to. One is coming out from the city-owned lot, the other from the park itself. And if you look at this, under G on this from the city codes, I can summarize a portion. It says, any vehicle entering or leaving the parking area shall be clearly visible from an approaching vehicle. So the approaching vehicle we're talking, coming downhill, based on the criteria in this figure, and it mentions 40 miles per hour needing 275 feet. I have a few photos that I'd like to place up on the podium here that are with your handout also. And this is a photo from the driver's side of a vehicle pulling out of Chumash Park. And so now imagine a vehicle coming down the hill at the speed limit of 35 miles per hour, requiring 210 feet to stop if it's not on a hill. And you have to inch out. You're pretty much in traffic inching out. And the vehicle's there, and you're there, and somebody has to make a very quick decision. We've also not mentioned about the possibility of pedestrians parking on the far side of the street, for which there is nothing over there other than the hill and an empty lot. So if pedestrians do wish to use the park, they need to cross the street at some point. This is a steep hill, a curve, and sight lines, I don't believe, are adequate at this point. We do have a couple more photos on the next page. Actually, I'll use the city's own photo for a moment here. You mentioned that there's adequate room. This photo is taken on the portion of the hill that is a straight shoot down before it curves on another portion that further down, as well as when you're going up the hill, it curves on another portion up, and I'll show you another photo. Imagine parking your vehicle. Perhaps some people don't park legally within the 18 limits from the curb. Some might go over that. I know the city vehicles here were parked well within the legal limits there. But imagine opening your car door and getting out, and having a vehicle coming down the hill at 35 or 40 miles per hour, your car door is being opened. Where is the vehicle going to maneuver if they do see you at the last second? There's a curbed center median throughout most of this contested portion. You don't have anywhere to go except perhaps into one of those palm trees that's there or into ongoing traffic. You don't have any room to safely maneuver and just jut around that. So that's one other point that we have. Another issue is, can you imagine parallel parking on this hill safely with vehicles coming up and down this hill? You have a few cars lined up there now, and you have some overflow event at the restaurant, and there's a lot of demand, and people from out of the area, and they see that they can park there, so they try to. And you end up trying to park there. That looks to me like a very difficult parallel parking with cars coming up behind you or coming up down the hill behind you. These other photos.
Can you try to wind this up as quickly as you can?
As quickly as I can. So this is after this no parking signs have come down. Those are city workers there who still park on the sidewalk and put cones up on the legal portion of parking right there. And that's the curved portion. I can't imagine parallel parking and staying 18 inches or less to the curb there with a curve like that and being able to then have vehicles safely get past. And the last photo is just of a bus going up the hill, which school buses go up there several times a day, and they also impede your vision coming in and out of there. So just to make a couple summary comments here, the safety plan of the safety element of the general plan of the city states that the Pismo Beach shall develop policies to minimize injury and loss of life, to minimize damage to public and private property. So in summary, I've also presented you with an updated petition list to present to the council. When I spoke to you on May 17th, I had 115 signatures. Several other community members also went around and canvassed. Today's list contains 231 signatures, the vast majority of whom are residents in our area. There are a couple of signatures from out of the area. They were people visiting in the homes we went into, and they demanded to sign the petition also. There are approximately 220 homes in the area adjacent to Ventana. We canvassed approximately 160 of those. We have 231 signatures. We are the residents who drive this hill numerous times per day. We feel our safety and that of others has been compromised by this decision. I'd like to hear from the city if someone feels that the safety has been improved by placing cars on Ventana. The city's own report noted that nobody is parking on Ventana, and maybe someone might need it in the future. Well, we are the residents and who live in this area, and we disagree with that decision. Many of the residents were unable to attend today, and they asked that I speak to the council on their behalf with these concerns. Reversing this decision will require the city to put back 3 no parking signs and will eliminate several potential parking spaces the city even admits no one is using. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. And I will ask the staff to respond to some of those questions later, but I would like to give everybody else an opportunity to speak first. Okay, the next card I have is John Cole.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council members. I'm John Cole. I live at 152 El Viento, and I travel on Ventana and Highland daily, maybe more, 3 or 4 trips a day. I also walk up and down Highland and Ventana on a daily basis, and I think that parking there is crowding the median, and there's not enough room to safely park on that street of Ventana. And one reason is they get those islands in there. And I saw the chief of police had his fire truck and everything lined up. I'd like to see that fire truck go by there at 45 miles an hour when people and other big vehicles there, and then somebody step out and see where he's going to go. When he staged that photo, they were just parked there. They weren't moving very fast. It's easy to drive through a narrow space business. All the other restaurants did fine there. Nobody was parking and having problems. And what's the capacity of that restaurant? I've watched them come and go. Everybody comes in a single person in a car. They need to pony up and get in a car and carpool there. They seem to know each other and have parties that are very, activity. So why the strangers? Why does everybody have to have a personal vehicle and park it there? And if that's their choice, fine, but don't put it in my neighborhood. Let them park somewhere else. And I don't know where, and I don't really care.
Okay.
But anyway, thanks for your
thing. Thank you very much.
I just don't want to have to fight traffic going up and down that hill.
Thank you very much. And the next card I have is Angelo Marenghi.
Good evening, Council and Mayor. I want to thank Dave for
addressing this issue because I think it's really a big problem for our area. The park is popular. It's really a great park. The council did a great job finally getting that going after 10 years. But anyway, it's nice to see that the restaurant is doing well. And I understand that you addressed the problems on Shamrock and on the private little street, and the residents were concerned about that. Well, we're just as concerned as they are. And coming out of Shumash Park, looking uphill, if you're looking on a flat area, you can see your sight distance is much better. But going up the hill, Dave showed one car parked going up the hill at the red curb coming out of Shumash Park looking east up the hill. He showed no cars parked on the other side of Ventana, on the north side of Ventana coming down. That's another obstruction. And you have 21 feet between the center median island and the curb. If you get a car in there, you're going to have probably 15 feet of access for vehicles to go up and down that street. And I've noticed since the employees have been parking at the city-owned parking lot where the proposed fire station is going to be, that there are people that run across that street at night. They park in that lot, they run across right to Shumash Park, and then they walk up to the restaurant. That's very dangerous. That's not that well lit down there. There's no lights in the parking lot, and that's city-owned property, which is owned by the city. There's no lights. What if somebody falls in that parking lot now that you're allowing them to use that? Did they post a bond with the city in case one of the employees slips and falls on the public property? Are we going to be stuck with the bill if somebody falls? I'm concerned about that, but I'm more concerned of the traffic coming down the hill. If you're going 35 miles an hour, Dave's absolutely right. You can't stop your vehicle probably in 250 feet. We have a lot of FedEx trucks that go up and down that street on a daily basis, probably anywhere from 5 to 10 trucks, and they're wide. They're probably just as wide as a fire truck. And the issue should be brought up about a fire truck going up on an emergency call. He's not going to be parked in the street measuring. There are bicyclists that also come up and down that street. If you didn't see a bicyclist, would it fit between a fire truck or another vehicle and a parked vehicle when somebody opens their door? I doubt it. Anyway, I hope that the council takes this into consideration and thinks about the safety of the people that live in the community. Not just, I'm pro-business, but I'm also for safety and for the residents. The city has to think of that, too. Thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you very much. The next card I have is Joyce Kaplan.
It's difficult for me to understand why a restaurant would take precedence over all the restaurants in Ventana del Mar.
Would you pull the mic down? There you go.
Certainly, we give the city more revenue than one restaurant. If there wasn't enough parking for the restaurant, then why did you give them a permit in the first place? The danger of parked cars on the side of the road when people are coming down such a large hill is unacceptable. Too many accidents can occur. If they wanted parking on Ventana, why wasn't the street originally made wider? And then there wouldn't have been a problem. That would have accommodated the parking. And what about children darting between parked cars? You don't see them. You're coming down that hill at 35 miles an hour, 40 miles an hour. Some child's going to get killed. And then what? We're going to say we're sorry? It's a life. You don't want that to happen. They won't see him in time. If you want more parking, let them park on James Way. What's the matter with James Way? I don't understand. Is that a problem? Anyway, one last thing. Although we've eaten in the restaurant, and my family's eaten in the restaurant, after this turmoil, I certainly will never go back there. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. I have no other cards. Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to speak to this item? Please. Please give it.
It's worth it. So anyway, that's what I suggest. So please, do not allow parking on Ventana. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else that would like to speak to this item? Please.
Hi, Connie Moran, G61 El Viento. I do have to support the speakers that are speaking against the parking on Ventana. It's a dangerous situation. The restaurant's doing great. Hooray for them. But why should their parking problem become our problem? We're the residents. We use that street all the time. Nobody addressed the issue really specifically of using James Way for parking. That street's wide enough. They've got a huge, big, wide center divider striped that could be eliminated, and you could park on James Way. So I hope the council will consider all of the comments that were made this evening. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to speak to this item?
Madam Mayor and Honorable Council, Art Anthony. I don't live in Ventana del Mar. I live in the next community down. I'm in that area a lot. I've eaten in the restaurant. It's a different restaurant than the one that was approved by the city. Originally, the lower parking lot, the one below the restaurant further north on James Way, was designed to hold the parking for employees. And the other lot, the big lot up at the corner of 4th Street, was designed to hold the customers' parking. Well, it hasn't really turned out that way because, number one, this restaurant has more employees than any other restaurant that's been there. And number two, the customers are staying longer once they go in the restaurant. So when new customers show up, they have to look for another place to park. That is certainly not the responsibility of the people who live in Ventana del Mar or where I live. That is the city responsibility. I think the city should look at the original approval. Parking spaces were based on the number of seated diners, as I recall. I think that's still the case. The business itself needs to solve this problem, not those of us who live nearby. And by the way, I hate to disagree with these folks who've been so very articulate and good, but James Way would be a terrible place to park cars because the James Way you see today is not the James Way you will see in the near future. There will be many more vehicles on that street. Other properties are getting ready to be developed that will impact James Way. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else that would like to speak to this item?
Thank you, Madam Mayor and Council. My name is Al Stevens. I live at 126 La Florecita. One issue that has not been, I bicycle, and that's a steep hill. And even with disc brakes on my bike coming down that hill, you got to really be careful. And I don't want to be dodging parked cars and people opening doors coming down the hill at the same time. It's hard, and I'm 62, and it's tough enough coming down the hill as it is. So I don't need to be doing that. Other thing I think from my standpoint, I'm always worried about the preservation of property values, and we feel that that's one of the premier housing areas in the city. And we'd like to see everything done to make that the premier housing area of the city and to maintain it. And parking cars along the nice entrance coming up our hill sure doesn't give it the ambiance that we would like to see in our area. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak to this item?
My name is Marion No, and I live at 67 Whitecap Street. And I just applaud my former speakers. I'm all for what they've said. I just want it noted that I am very much against parking on Ventana. So I just don't need to say any more than what they've said. But I agree with them. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else that would like to speak to this item? Okay. If we have one more.
Yes. My name is Mike Silverstein. I live in Pismo Beach. One thing we might want to think about is having the successful restaurant owner talk to the new hotel people about maybe securing some parking right across the street from his restaurant. And or, as the people brought up, there's a lot of single car or single occupant traffic, most of which is probably their employees. Maybe you have their employees park in the outlet center and he hires a kid to shuttle his own employees, who usually probably work on a shift basis, into his restaurant at certain hours when they come in order to alleviate the need for the extra extra parking, which from what the people are saying, still the need isn't proven yet.
Okay.
So that's one thing that they might want to work on.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else that would like to speak to this item? Yes, sir. I appreciate all the comments.
I'm Stanley Coombs. I live at 94 La Aquilina. I use the hill there a great deal come out. There are only two real escapes from that hill. One is Ventana, and the other is Highland. Of course, you can use you can turn off Highland and come down the center road there, but parking there could create on any of the roads there that are essentially the thoroughfares going up the hill, could easily create a safety hazard that there's just no way to handle. So my objection is multiple. Okay. And I appreciate the chance to speak my piece, and will enjoy the place that I live as long as I can.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else that would like to speak to this item? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to bring this back to the council. Are there any of those questions that were brought up that the council would like to see answered? And if so, I'll have staff address those.
There were several questions brought up by Dave at the beginning, and I'd like to hear what those answers are before the council gets into discussion on this.
Okay. One of them, I think, is the 10% slope.
It was a 13% slope.
It's a 13% slope, but it was more than 10%. I guess that's what they were saying. And then 35 miles per hour takes 210 feet to react.
Well, that's right out of the DMV manual.
Yeah.
So I don't think they need to address that.
So is there any comments that the staff can make about any of those questions that would be helpful to the council?
Yes, Dave Kettler speculated on what the answer to the question was before I had a chance to see his handout, and he was correct in his assumption that because there's a median island on that street, that does allow for additional consideration as far as the slope. The street is 13%, and so with the median island in the middle and with sidewalks on both sides of the street, that warrants extra consideration.
Oh, thank you. That's nice to hear, because I felt that there was, Madam Mayor, there was just too many issues. Mm-hmm. Just too many issues. I think there was a lot of good comments with resolutions. I think that I would agree that the business does need to resolve this issue, and it is a residential area. And I'm absolutely not in favor of having parking on that on Ventana.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else that has any questions or comments?
Just a comment. I've been watching that whole thing develop. In fact, I was instigating a lot of the action on this thing. And I don't understand why the city has to step forward to take care of private business problems. I think that they could talk with Caltrans, perhaps, and get a piece of that property right below their lower parking lot, or they can talk with the factory outlet and try to make a deal with them. I think that's a business issue, not the city's issue. And I don't like the idea of parking down in lower Ventana. It is a very serious safety hazard. And with Chumash Park going full bore, and it is going full bore, you have a lot of children that are going to be crossing that street. And especially if they don't get parking in the parking lot there, and the parents park across the street in that little lot that they're using now for the employees. So you're going to have children running between cars, and I don't want to see that happen. I just don't want to see that happen.
Okay, thank you very much. Anyone else have any comments? Councilman Ravenel.
You know, this problem, though, is just indicative of a greater problem that's growing within our community, and I can't let this go by without talking about it. You know, many of you that remember the Los Robles Del Mar project, many of you will remember my conversations as it comes to the hotel on the corner of 4th, which I was against as well. Poor planning in the past is causing us a lot of problems in the present, and it's going to cause more for us in the future. It's not only in our community, it's statewide, it's probably nationwide. I listened to the news this morning. Some lady in Santa Barbara wants to talk about what's going on at the fairgrounds that's next to her neighborhood, because some of the events that are there are not to her liking or the neighborhood's liking, so they now want to change that. It makes it very, very difficult not to try to have them provide bus services for us during the summer months when we were most impacted by traffic. You know, these are decisions that this council is going to ultimately make. It takes the courage of people like you to come forward and say enough is enough. At some point, we're going to run out of options, though, folks. We need to take very, very good care of our community and what we do in the future. And we better be awfully good planners. And that's part your job. It's not just our job. I thank you all for coming out, and of course I won't support that. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm kind of worried about opening up a can of worms because there's other spots in the city that have slope, and I worry about that because it is a public street. But I certainly understand the safety issues, and I think you did your research, and that was very helpful. I do think the restaurant needs to take responsibility in solving this problem, but I also think that Pismo Beach can help them a little bit. I think Mr. Rice coming up with the idea of the dirt lot, I think, was a very good idea. Can we expand that at all, Mr. Rice? Can we make that lot a little bigger for the employees? I don't know. I'm looking for compromises here.
Well, I've also heard a few folks tonight speak against allowing people to park in the dirt lot, so I'm reluctant to go there.
Okay.
It is a concern.
Okay. Well, I think we need to be business friendly, but I also think that we need to pay attention to the residents and listen to their needs. And I feel as though parking on Ventana would be a bad idea. But I would like to work with the business and help find some alternatives as well. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Well, this does put us in a dilemma because this is an unusual situation where your CC&Rs say no parking on Ventana and it's a public street. Usually that doesn't happen. How this happened, it's kind of strange. I think there will be people on Highland that would want no parking along there. There's people on Capanna that would want no parking. There's people on Shamrock that would want no parking. So it's kind of a difficult, ticklish situation for the council. On the one hand. On the other hand, I've not seen any cars park there. So my feeling is that probably there's no need to have the parking there. I think we do need to work with the restaurant and see if there's some other things that they can do. So with that, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move, Madam Mayor, that is it going to be an ordinance? This has to be adopted in order to...
No, I think it's just...
No, I think...
It's just direction.
You just need to make a motion that would, if your intention is to put the signs back up, just mm-hmm. a motion directing staff to reinstall the signs on the lower... the no parking signs on the lower portion of Ventana.
Good. So moved.
I second it.
Good. Okay, we have a motion and second. Yes. Under discussion.
Thank you. Under discussion. I'll figure this out soon. Now, so what do we do about the red curbing? Does that stay? Do you red curb it all the way up? Or
no, the red curbing that's already there would stay there, but we just put up the no parking signs again that used to be up there.
Okay, I just don't want that to be confusing.
Okay.
Yeah, I did hear one thing though. If I could comment on one other item again, the CC&Rs that were accepted by the city for who knows whatever reason when that happened back in the 80s. Deals only with the area with inside the tract boundary map.
Right. Right.
We understand that. Thank you. Is there any other comment?
I have
none. Any other discussion? If not, we have a motion and a second on the floor.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
passes 5-0. Thank you.
And I just want to make one other comment. I do appreciate staff's effort to try to resolve this problem and help all the way around, but it turned out to be a bigger problem for a lot of us, so thank you. The next item on our agenda is 6B. Mr. City Manager.
Madam Mayor and Council, item 6B is consideration of approval of the contract with Tom Jones and Associates. I'd like to ask Ms. Susan Brazil, the Executive Director of the CVB, to come forward.
A little quiet when you're leaving. This might be a good time for a five-minute break. Let's do that. Okay. Let's take a five-minute break. Okay.